All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is a Monday, October 14th of 2024. Looking ahead here, we had a three-game early NHL slate start a little while ago. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. We have a three-game NHL main slate later this evening. We have a two-game MLB slate starting up in about 6 minutes here, so get your lineups in. And then we have Monday Night Football between the Bills and the Jets tonight as well. So plenty of DFS action coming at you today. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel on our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. So can't say enough good things about the Discord. With that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And then we have our build review show that we do Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, going live in about an hour here. So, we have plenty of people to review today on this Monday, so it should be a fun one. And then I had a request to review my own lineups because I had a good win yesterday, so we could do that as well. So with that said, it is Monday. We do have to announce the winners for our weekly max challenge here. So let's get that up on the screen here. Our max challenge, you know, plenty of people participating each and every week. Still time to participate and get in on the action. So at the end of the year, we are giving away two tickets to the big game, aka the Super Bowl. And for this week's winners, we got to announce our top finisher and one random person to get free entry into next week's mini max. So, top finisher was M Roarback 73 with a fifth place in the minimax and 207.5 fantasy points. They are our top finisher for the week. Congratulations. They're going to be getting custom SaberSim hoodie and an entry into our end of the season free roll here. And then for our random entrant winner for this week, let's grab all the names of everybody who participated. Looks like we had 281 people this week, which is awesome. Go and replace the names from last week in our wheel of names. Entry. Free entry into next week's Minimax. Winner is DT Nichols 09. Congratulations. Let's get this name in here. DT Nichols 09. And congratulations to the winners. Our support team will reach out to you and let you know how to claim your prizes. And appreciate everybody continuing to participate each and every week. Minimax Challenge is continuing to go strong. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up. And let's jump into some questions. We'll start with questions in the Discord, as always, and then jump over to the live YouTube chat. Quick comment, I registered today, encouraged by the fact that members of SaberSim end up in the top 10 of DK and FanDuel NFL fantasy contests every week. I'm hoping to find myself in the top 10. Congratulations for joining up here. We appreciate having you, and glad you found this show. So this is a good show to be hanging out with and, you know, learning and getting better and getting more familiar with the tool, really. All right. Got a couple questions here to get us started. Let's get these in the queue. And let's get SaberSim back up. All right. Looks like we have about like five or so questions to get us started here. So should have plenty to talk about. All right. First question. Hey, Andrew, congrats on your big hit yesterday. Thank you. Question for you on min-max exposures. I have used them post-build exclusively, mainly because with traditional optimizers, they cause terrible lineups with tons of clumping. I'm wondering, though, With how SaberSim builds lineups, is it a huge negative to have some min or max exposures on pre-build in cases where we want some more slash less of a few players in the actual pool before sorting? Okay, good question. So I think it's totally cool to use min and max exposures. You know, at the end of the day, like 5,000 lineups is a lot, right? It's good. But when you compare it to like, you know, an NFL main slate, the amount of possible combinations and the amount of possible like positive, you know, plus EV lineups that you could play, like there are probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of positive EV lineups that like you could play. And I don't think it's wrong to work in some of your opinions, right? Like you want your lineups to look like something that you're comfortable playing, something that you wanted, right? So the best thing that you could do is tell us that up front. Like, hey, you know, I'm building for this slate. I know I want to fade Sean Manaea because I think the Dodgers are really good. And maybe I don't want to full fade him, but I definitely do not want to play more than the field. So then I come in here and I set, you know, an exposure of 67%. And like, this just guarantees the outcome I want is the outcome that is going to happen. And guess what? Now, you know, I'm not wasting lineups because say he comes in, you know, 80% owned. Well, I'm probably wasting 13% of my lineups in my pool that have that player. And that's, you know, well over 500 lineups, right? So, you know, now 500 lineups go to waste when I could have used those in a more efficient manner. So telling us those things up front just gets you closer to the outcome that you're looking for. And, you know, whether that's good or bad or not depends on your assumptions almost, right? So could it be a good thing? Yes. Could it be a bad thing? Also, yes, right? So that is like, hey, am I right in my decision to do such and such thing? And that's a different question, right? And that's something you kind of have to ask yourself. But as far as what you should do in the app, you should put in your opinions because that will help you get to the outcome you desire. All right, next question. Hey, Andrew, for tonight's NFL Showdown, can you please show how to use target ROI, geomean, and projection score filters in tandem? Setting a target ROI filter greater than zero trashes a lot of lineups right off the bat. I think these are different questions. Okay, so this is the question right here. So yeah, we could definitely talk about this. Let's go to tonight. Let's go to this Buffalo Jets showdown. So the one thing is I'm not going to use target ROI just because I don't have an entries file here. So I'm just going to manually create a contest sim. And I'll do a contest sim ROI filter, but it just won't be target. But when you have an entries file, then you can use target. Okay. So I'm going to bump this to 5,000 lineups and drop min uniques. Drop my minimum salary here. I think this should use the fast build mode. So this shouldn't take too long because I've made no other changes other than giving the builder more bandwidth with salary and made the minor adjustments to projection. So it shouldn't take too long. Normally we build less lineups, but if I'm going to be using all three of these filters, I do want to have more lineups. All right. Lineups are built. I'm going to run the contest sim. Okay, so while the contest sim is running, I can start applying some of these. So target ROI, geo mean, and projection filters. So then what I would do is honestly, while it runs, right, I could come in here and just start setting up some filters and just say show lineups with projection greater than X. And, you know, I always talk about like 10 to 20% of my pools is kind of what I'm shooting for. So 75 is a little high. Maybe bring this down to like 73. 73 is right about like 11%. This is fine for the example, right? So projection filter, check. And I can even name these, right? projection, save. Okay, great. Now I'm going to do GeoMean. You can do this one of two ways, right? You can do it the same way we did a projection. So we say ownership. I'm sorry. So first thing I need to do, right, is create a GeoMean custom metric. So I'd go down here, click add metric if I don't have it. And then I would create a metric that looks like this, my own product GeoMean value. And I just renamed it so I can easily identify it. Once you have that metric, you go to your filters, add new filter. My custom metrics are down here on the bottom, GeoMean, less than, and then I could say whatever number I want, right? So let's start with 25. When applying these, I would turn the other filter off so you can just see what the independent effect of it is. And then I'll just rename this one, GeoMean. Click save. Good. So GeoMean 670, right? 10 to 20%. This is fine. You could be more specific and you can go in here and do a formula to figure out how many dupes you're estimating in the contest. That's another way of doing it. This is actually, just to be transparent, this is the way I've been doing it. Because I'm playing like so many showdowns, you know, in so many slates that I kind of have to be faster and I can't take the time to like do the formula every single time. So, you know, I think it's like a little bit suboptimal. But am I cutting corners? Yeah. But like, does it still work? Yes. So I've been doing it this way. And the last one would be ROI. So if you remember, if you have an interest file, you can use target. I don't, I just have a custom contest sim. So I'm just going to say ROI greater than zero. This one, I don't care how many lineups it trashes. I get this question a lot. It's like, hey, you know, the ROI trashes a lot of lineups. And it's like, yeah, but you know, this contest sim is the best thing we have to grade lineups. And it is running the lineups through the contest sim 100,000 times. So like, I'm pretty comfortable with the result at the end and like trusting that information. So I'm okay if it trashes a bunch of lineups. Okay, projection, GeoMean. So I'm down to about 500 lineups, right? I mean, there are people who are, you know, using our tools who only get 500 lineups, right? So in my opinion, this is more than enough. You know, if you need like 150 lineups, if you need 190, like depending on how many lineups you need. If you're playing like a ton of unique entries, you know, you might want to split those up into different builds and even be okay with some overlap, right? Like you're usually going to need an optimal to win. And there's only one lineup that ends up as the optimal, right? So you could split it up like into different builds, like 150, 20s, single entry, three max, whatever you want to do. That's only if you're having trouble, right? But if I was playing less than, you know, 500 entries, I would be okay taking my pool of 497 and playing every single one of them, right? So this is how I would use all three filters together. All right, next question. Is there a way in the sim to set a number of lineups that your player groups are in together? Example would be Montgomery and Gibbs. I want to play together. And in 10% of my lineups is the question here. So like, can I play Montgomery and Gibbs in 10% of my lineups? So you can do this with the favorites. So basically what you would do is let's use like Monday through Thursday for an example. So let's say, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. These are like two running backs I know from the Jets. So what, let's say I need 20 lineups, right? What I can do here is I could come in and set a rule in this build. And then I could say group manual, use no more than one. And then I would go and grab those two players, Hall, Allen. Okay. And then I would click save. And then I would say, let's just like name it max one, right? So in this build, I know that I have a rule that says use no more than one of these two players. And then I can open a second build. And I'm going to say, I don't know, min two. And I'm just naming them so I know what they are. And then I would go and create a rule that says use exactly two and then go and grab those same two players. All right, save that. Save. So this build has a rule for both, and then the other build has a rule for only one. Right? Okay, great. So I'm going to kick this off. Now, let's say I need 20 lineups, right? So, and I want 10% of the both, and then I want the other 90% to not have it. So what I would do is in this build, 10% of 20 is two lineups. So I'm going to build two lineups here. I'm going to send those to the favorites, and then I'm going to go to my other build. I'm going to build 19 lineups, and then I'm going to send those to the favorite. I'm sorry, 18 lineups, and then I'm going to send that to the favorites, and then I'm going to combine the 20 lineups in the favorites. Now I can enter those into a 20 max and have what I was looking for. So this build, it's far enough along here. This is our minimum two. So we see Breece Hall, Braylon Allen. Great. Let's say I just want the top two lineups. So I'm cool with these two lineups here. I would go to the three dots next to save. And then I would click save to favorites. And when I do that, so I'm take these two lineups, I'm going to get a notification, two lineups added to favorites. I can see the two in the parentheses, knowing that there's two lineups in the favorites tab. That's now white instead of gray. So the lineups are there. Great. And then I would go to my other build. That is max one. Build my lineups. And we can cut the build there. It's enough. All right. Change my lineups from 20 to 18. Say I'm good with the top 18. Go. Favorite these lineups. 18 lineups added to favorites. I go and look at my favorites. In parentheses, it says 20. I come over here. I have the 20 lineups I need. Now I can click the green save button, save it to my contest. So that is exactly how I would do what you described. All right, next question. After filling the $3 and under tournaments on the NFL slates, there is a big increase in total bankroll required to max out the $5 tournaments. If we're looking to increase our bankroll, would you recommend partially filling the $5 flea flickers / $9 slants or waiting until increasing your bankroll enough to $150, the $5 ones? So this is like a question of like, hey, is it okay to enter less than the maximum number of lineups in a tournament? And the answer is overwhelmingly yes. It is always okay to enter less than the maximum. And the reason for that is because theoretically you should be entering your best lineup first. And then your second lineup is a little worse than your first, right? That's why it's your second best and then your third best and then your fourth best, right? So by not maxing, you are just deciding not to enter, you know, say you put 20 lineups in instead of 150. Well, you're just deciding not to put in your 21st through 150th best lineups, right? So you're still playing the best 20 lineups you have. So it is always okay to enter less than the max. I do it all the time. You know, my win yesterday, which in case you guys didn't hear, I took second in the early flagship for 20K, and I only entered 10 lineups in that contest. It is a 150 max contest, if I believe so. So I practice what I preach. All right. Next question. I'm sure you've answered this before, but by chance, can you go over the player pool percentages and how we should be using those? How we should use this in our process? For example, if I had over 40% DAC in my quarterback pool percentage, is this an indicator of a pool of a player we choose / build lineups around? Okay, good question. So let's go. Let's just use this slate here. So truthfully, I don't look at this too much myself. I know people do, though, so it's good to talk about best practices here. So we're going to run 5K lineups here. Build slowing down. This is enough. We have like 1,300 lineups. We'll stop it there. All right. So we have exposure, pool, leverage, right? Normally what I would say is you kind of want to look for like red flags. Now, that would just be like a situation where something just feels over leveraged, right? This goes back to like risk management. This goes back to making sure you're comfortable with the lineups that you're playing. And I'm just going to use SaberScore for this example. We don't need to wait to run a contest sim. So normally what I would do is I'd come in here. What I would recommend is coming in here, sorting by leverage, and just kind of spot checking three things: ownership, exposure, pool, right? So you're sorting by leverage and you're looking at ownerships, exposures, and pools. And you're basically trying to determine, like, do I agree with what the builder is deciding to do here? Now, a situation that would make me nervous or that I would consider adjusting would probably be something like this Jets option here. So we see the Jets D, defenses are high variance. They are 27% owned. They are in 35% of our lineups, which is positive leverage. But their pool percentage is 19%. So like we're about 7% over their ownership in our top 20, but their pool exposure is like 7% less, right? Only 8% exposure isn't, only 8% leverage isn't like the worst thing here. And, you know, this moves in like increments of five because we only have 20 lineups. So I'm not saying I would do something here, but this is something I would be on the lookout for, right? This is a way of using that information to say, hey, am I actually okay with this? And honestly, what I would have done before getting to this point is went and adjusted my min uniques. And adjusting min uniques might solve this by itself, right? So like I'm just looking at average projection, kind of moved a lot. It's like not great. It moved like 2 points down. But you'll notice that we moved the uniques down from 1 to 2. And then the Jets came down to 25%, which is like basically matching ownership. So that would be something, right? Like, hey, you know, I'm okay trading some average projection for like these flatter leverages that like I'm comfortable with. So that'd be one way of using it, right? So that's kind of the effect that you're looking for. That is, you know, if you're in direct fill, if you're being hands-on with your lineups and your exposures, the reason I don't really do this is because I'm using autofill basically all the time now, but that would be a use case for it. So I hope that gives you some insight into how to use it. All right. So we are caught up with our first round of questions in the Discord, and we're going to jump over to the YouTube chat. So one question here, how do I build lineups that contain unexpected players that go off? So one of the best ways to do this is to build with a high sim diversity. So if you go back to like the main slate yesterday, right? We go back to Sunday main. So one thing you're going to notice, right, if you go to the gear icon and look at the sliders, sim diversity is set to 7, right? This is what we've determined are the best sliders based on the amount of games on the slate, which is how the sliders are determined now. If you increase this, what you are going to be doing is lowering the number of sims we use each time we build your lineups, and that can in turn lead to finding players who have good sims in a, like, who perform well in a couple of sims, but don't perform well over all of the sims. And the difference there is that you could find players that might not grade out well on average, but when we take a few sets of game sims, they actually do pretty well sometimes. And you know, that is, at the end of the day, the game only plays out one time, every single game on the slate, one time, right? Using the average projection across all of our game sims isn't the best option. That's why we have our sim mode. That's the way we build lineups, is randomly sampling, you know, five game sims, seeing how the players do, using their average score across those five to figure out who gets into the lineup. So the higher the sim diversity, the more chance you have of finding unexpected players that can pop off. All right, good stuff there. That was our only question in the YouTube chat. Going to jump back to the Discord. And looks like there are a couple additional questions. Let me get those in the chat. See, Joe signed up for the Minimax. Joe, I could definitely check you out on the Build Review Show so I can get that. And then one more question here from KJ. Can you cover min uniques for late swap? I settled at 4 uniques for Minimax and 3 for 20 max. Not sure if I need to match when late swapping multiple contests. Okay, good question. So let me just show you guys how I did this. So let me go pull up my build from yesterday. Let's do FanDuel main slate. This is probably a good one to look at. All right. So this is my late swap from FanDuel for yesterday. My original build, late swap build. Now, the way I've been doing this is as follows. So what I'll do is I'll run the contest sim. So I'll run my build, right? I get my late swap build in. And then I run the contest sim. I set this to target ROI. And then what I do is I come in here and I go through each contest. And I've just been doing it by contest prize pool. So I'll select the top contest, right? The pool lineups is going to update. And then what I'll do is, well, this is a single entry. So single entries, you're not going to use many uniques, but let's do one with more lineups. Right, so I only entered 10 lineups in this $3 contest, right? Okay, so I come in here, I go to the $3, it updates the metrics, I see my average projection and my average ROI, and then I just start adjusting this on and watch how these metrics change. So my average projection was at 123.9, average ROI was 171, and then I'll start adjusting, right? So I'm at 3 uniques, average. Uniques of 4, I'm down like 1 point average projection and ROI still close. I would probably stop here, right? I mean, I've lost 0.9 in projection. My ROI is still holding. This is good with me. You know, I don't want to sacrifice too much of either of these metrics because that's what I've seen matters in contest flashback. And then I would save it. And then after saving it, I would revert this back to 1. And then I would go and I would move on to the next contest. And then I would start over. So I'm allowing the builder to sort by each contest's ROI. And then I'm coming in here and determining how much I want to sacrifice. Now, typically, if I'm like a negative ROI in a contest, I basically don't want to sacrifice anything. And I'll just take whatever the builder gives me at uniques of 1. If I'm positive, then I'm normally willing to account for some uniques. You know, making sure I don't get into the negative. So, you know, I can go from 1 to 2. On this one, I'm like 20%. By the time I get to 3 uniques, I'm at 18.7. four uniques, I'm down to like 14. But by the time I get to four, I've already sacrificed like over a point projections. Like maybe I stop at three for this one, you know, go from 125.5 to 125.1, sacrifice like 2 percentage points of ROI. And given that my ROI is lower here, maybe I'm good with three, right? So this is how I'm using mini uniques. There isn't just like a number you could always use, like, oh, always three or oh, always four. You should be judging, you know, this, and I'm judging it on a contest by contest basis. And the truth is this does take a little while. You know, I'm doing this for, you know, DK main, FanDuel main, Yahoo main, Owner's Box main, every single contest one at a time. And I need to start this like 30 minutes before, you know, the afternoon games lock. And, you know, it takes as long as it takes, but I think that in my opinion, this is probably the best way to manage your uniques and late swaps at the moment. So those are my thoughts there. All right. Check Discord one more time. Got a follow up here from KJ. Should just keep this open. And KJ said, didn't realize there was a drop down to select contests on the save button. Thank you. That helps out with sorting different contests while late swaps. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's kind of like the same as direct fill, right? Where you click the arrow and you have access to your entire contest list. Same thing for late swap, right? Late swap, you have that arrow and you have all your contests here. So normally I've been doing it by prize pool. I've seen on DK, you could do like there's DK. We have the contest information. So sometimes there's current winnings. I would just double check that those are like accurate. And if your current winnings are accurate, or if you look on your DK app, you know, it'll usually order it by like your most winning contest to like your least, you know, you could do it like that too, right? So like do your current winnings, do prize pool, do fee, do whatever makes sense to you, but go through them in order there. So that's my best advice. All right. We are through with all the questions that we had in the Office Hours channel and the YouTube chat. So appreciate everybody tuning in. We will be back here in about 25 minutes for our build review show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.